I'm Lieutenant Joe Pangaro. I've been a cop for 27 years. I like to say I got a backstage pass to life. Well, guess what? I got some tickets for you. So come on in, pull up a chair, turn up that volume, and let's go. Chasing Justice is on.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Chasing Justice. Once again, I am your host, Lieutenant Joe Pangaro, and we are here for some time together to talk about world events, local events, conceptual events. We're getting ready for the holidays, aren't we? Everybody out there getting ready for the holidays? Yes, we're moving along quickly in our year. The year 2020 looms up ahead, and we have a lot to think about as we're moving forward. You know, I'm looking, and I like to review sometimes what we've talked about before, updates on different things. And I think one of the most important things that we've talked about in the last year, not because of what it is, but because of what it represents, is the kneeling in the NFL. Now, it has kind of quieted down this year. A lot of the TV networks, when they're showing the beginning of the game, are either not showing the national anthem or they're not showing that part with the players kneeling. And I think a lot of the players have made the decision to, you know, stand up. We have said here on Chasing Justice that we understand that some of the players might feel there's a problem that they want addressed, and that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to let their grievance be aired so that we can redress it. Our opinion here always about that has been, while we understand they may feel aggrieved, as a nation, as all of us being Americans, brothers and sister Americans, we should be concerned with their grievance, and we should look at it. The problems we have in America, though, today, is that if you have a grievance and we want to look at it, not everybody wants you to look at it completely. They just simply want you to accept their side and join in with them. If you look at it in any way that is considered not supportive of an opinion different than one of these aggrieved groups, then you are a hater, or you really don't care, or you're trying to hurt them in some way. So I've often said, you know, if these players think that there's a problem and they want to be heard, we should hear them. But to use the format of kneeling at the national anthem causes such difficulty and pain for so many people that it's hard to recognize their grievance and deal with it. Because then the people who see them kneeling are offended by their kneeling and hurt by their kneeling, but nobody seems to care about those people's feelings, right? So recently we had Colin Kaepernick, the football player, the ex-football player, say that, you know, of course he hasn't been picked, that there's been collusion amongst the NFL teams, that he hasn't been rehired because he's the greatest quarterback that ever lived, and people are just not hiring him because they're trying to keep him quiet because he started really this whole kneeling situation. Let's think about that for a minute. Is it collusion if everyone separately, the owners, say, why would I want that headache on my team? I see that it offends more than half of my audience, more than half of the people who would come to my games and buy my ridiculously expensive seats to watch a game and my absurdly expensive hot dogs and cold beers. Why would I bring someone in, no matter who they are, that's going to cause such a controversy? All right, and when you combine that with the fact that apparently he was, I watched him play. I thought he was a talented player, but I've seen lots of, you know, really talented people disappear after a couple years because they just don't have it anymore. And apparently he didn't really have it anymore. He could throw a ball really well, but you know what? So can I. Lieutenant Joe could throw a ball pretty well too, but I'm not going to the NFL. All right, so Colin Kaepernick decides he's going to have a workout, and he announces this workout, and they're going to do it near the Atlanta Falcons, I think in their stadium. And he invites all the NFL teams to come, and they're going to come and watch him work out so that they can, you know, give him a second thought. Is this a guy that we could hire? You know, a lot of the NFL teams are looking for a quality players because players get injured by this time of the year. People didn't work out the way they thought they were going to work out. And Kaepernick does have a history of being an NFL quarterback. He was a starting quarterback, and he did well at parts of his career. So he's going to have this this workout where he's going to invite all the teams to come. The NFL is going to, you know, sponsor it, so to speak, so that he can get out there and show everybody what he can do, and then maybe somebody will hire him. Now, I think a lot of it is political correctness on the part of the NFL. I think they figured, the best way to get out from under all the nonsense that he's claiming about them, about the owners getting together, hey, don't hire Kaepernick. We don't like him. He's a troublemaker. Yeah, he's a troublemaker. We don't want him. And we all agree not to hire him, right? That's not how it goes. I think they just individually see what a problem it would be to have him on their roster. So they decide they're going to sponsor this and let everybody go down and take a look, and maybe somebody will hire him. Yeah, maybe they will. So these teams that decide to send representatives go down there. And I think the reports are coming out that about an hour before the event was supposed to start, when people came from around the country to go give this guy a look, he decides he's going to change the location to some high school field outside of the Atlanta Falcons training facility because he says it gives him a better shot at transparency. Then he wanted to bring his own film crew to document it. Then he wanted to do 27 other things. You know, so instead of just saying, hey, listen, my real goal here is I want to play football. I think I have the skill set to be a professional NFL quarterback and I could make a difference. Let me show you what I can do. Instead of doing that, he turned it into a circus where it wasn't at the location where a lot of the teams, I think only six of them could get to where he was practicing at the high school football stadium. They went over there, and the rest of the teams couldn't go. They couldn't find him. They couldn't get to him in time. It ends up being a joke. And I think, you know, at this point, how can anybody give this guy any second thought? At this point, he's just demonstrating that he wasn't there for football. And guess what? That's what the players are there for, to play football. Not to make political statements, not to drive causes. They're there to play football, which means you sell tickets, because football is a business, whether we like it or not. Us on this side of the stadium, we want to go see football because we want the rivalries, we want the sport, we want to see the great catches, the great tackles, the excellent athletes. We want to see all of that stuff. On the other side, the owners want you to buy a ridiculously expensive ticket and an absurdly expensive hot dog and a beer. It's a business. They're there to make money. And Kaepernick is just demonstrating to them that would be a losing proposition. You would hurt the NFL even more by having him come back. And now he demonstrated this clearly, what he would be like if he was hired. So I don't think it has anything to do with his race. It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with the fact that he's an okay quarterback who's got all of these problems. He has all this baggage. He's not there just to play football. He's there to do something else. And that's what they need, people to play football. All right, so I think he's pretty much ruined his opportunity. All right, so that goes with the kneeling. We know that, you know, I started watching again this year. I finally caved in because I felt there was a lot of guys that weren't kneeling that, you know, I enjoy football. There's guys that are not kneeling. So I wanted to support them for not kneeling, put it that way. And now he comes out, Colin comes out and does this. So hopefully that's the end of that, and maybe we can move on from this. If there's a way to address the grievance of people who have it, I think we should listen to their grievance. But there's a right way to do everything. You know, if I have a grievance, there's a right way to do that grievance. I don't just, go to work and stand up and jump up and down at my company and demand people do what I want. I saw a great meme the other day. It was, who was it? Who's the guy from that TV show? Oh, he's the scientist. I'm trying to think of the name. Sheldon, right? He's Sheldon, right? From that TV show. And he's standing there, and I obviously he didn't make this meme. Somebody used his face, and they put the words underneath it. It's okay to believe whatever you believe in, but it's not okay for you to demand I believe what you believe in. I think that's really true. Let everybody have their own thoughts and their own beliefs. Which brings me to an interesting point. We recently had a family get together at my house, and we were talking about, you know, the kneeling, and we were talking about politics and how politics has driven families apart from each other. And we all know that. I mean, how many people do we all know out there? You have family members and good friends that you might have had for your whole life. We really don't talk to anymore because of politics, you know, because of Trump, or because if you believe in Trump, or you thought Trump was okay, or you don't hate Trump, and therefore you're a hater, and you're a terrible, and I can't be near you, and I'm triggered by having you around because you don't hate Trump, all this kind of nonsense. And this has happened in my own family. You know, we have people that we love that don't speak to us anymore, and I say that in a specific way. They don't speak to us. We didn't cut them off because we happen to think their thought patterns are a little wacky in how they see the world. But because we supported Trump here, we supported the change that Trump was bringing, right? And I've told you all how many times, I don't support everything the guy says or the way he says it. But what am I going to do, vote for a liberal? I'm going to go vote for a liberal because I think the guy's vulgar sometimes, or I don't like his tweets. Ridiculous. But there are people in our family who have done that. So we were talking about it. And my son, Joe, who's on this program once in a while, he does the disorder in the court, you know, our attorney of record. Joe and I were trying to figure out, you know, how is it that we can have a better holiday this year? And I want you to listen to something, and I'm going to try and get it up on the website there at AmericaOutloud.com. But in the meantime, here's what it sounded like when we did this. My son, Joe, and I were talking about how to make the holidays better in a message from the Pangaro family. So it's going to take me a minute to get this together here because it's annoying.
We're going to have family and friends around. We're going to have a wonderful time at our homes. But you know what can ruin that? Talk of politics. How many families have been ruined by politics? There can be problems that people have. That other kind of family things that interfere with having fun. So what we've done here at the Pangaro home is we've come up with the holiday bell. So a individual in your family that's designated as the most level-headed, the smartest, the one who has complete control over all their environment will be given the holiday bell. And when you're sitting around and somebody brings up some ridiculous topic, they bring up,
what do you think about the military-industrial complex?
When that comes up, you ring the holiday bell. And you say, enough with that conversation. Say you're sitting around and somebody brings up something political.
What do you think about the elections in Louisiana?
You ring the holiday bell. And that stops us from that conversation. And we concentrate on mistletoe and Christmas trees and menorahs and love and all the fun. So remember, get yourself a holiday bell. And don't ruin your holidays this year. That's the advice from the Pangaro household. We love you all, and happy holidays, everybody.
So that's our little holiday message for everybody. And really, it comes down to the holiday bell was just a joke because we had everybody over here for a get-together, all the family and the kids, and especially my brand-new baby granddaughter, Annalisa Grace, which I told everybody about. She's absolutely beautiful. And she was here, and all my children were here with their friends and boyfriends and husbands and wives, and my stepfather, my grandfather was here, and my kid's grandfather, I'm sorry, was here. And we're having a good time, but it always turns to politics one way or another. And we do have a disparate group of opinions in this group. And I found out early on that, you know, one wrong comment can really set people off. And I don't mean screaming negatively at each other. That's not the kind of family we are. But it'll start a conversation where people want to have a conversation. You know, maybe my daughter who's in college will have an opinion about something going on in the news. And she'll say, hey, you know, well, what do you think about this? And that starts a genuine conversation. Doesn't mean we all agree. We just start to have a conversation about it. But inevitably, you know, somebody can be offended, somebody gets their feelings hurt, somebody says something, and then it turns into a negative. You know, somebody gets backed into a corner, they want to defend them, and that's not what you do at a holiday. That's not the kind of thing you should do at a holiday, because then people are upset with each other. So early on, you know, even a couple years ago, I had decided that at the holidays, we're setting the rules early on when we're having these get-togethers. No politics. Right? No politics, no politicking, no talking about any controversial things like that. We're there to talk about the holiday and to have fun. And at first, everybody kind of thought that was a good idea, then a bad idea, then, well, you're cutting off what people want to talk about. No, I'm just trying to prevent people from having a miserable time, because people can have a miserable time if they're not enjoying themselves. And I suggest that to you. So that's where the holiday bell come from. All right, so you're wearing that holiday bell. And somebody starts to talk about something that you know is controversial or will ruin your family get-together, you ring the holiday bell. And you say, that's enough of that. We're not doing that. We're having fun, right? Okay, so that's the idea. So the holidays are approaching very quickly, and I wanted to make sure I sent that out to everybody. I'm looking at, you know, the fall always makes me feel happy, feels good, even in the gray. See, we're in the Northeast here in New Jersey, in the neighborhood. The neighborhood here is in Jersey. And right now, the leaves are all out of the trees. The skies are gray. You know, it's cold out. It's rainy out. Yeah, I get it. It's not Florida, you know. So for all you people down in Florida and Southern California and all the other places that have sunshine all the time, you know, I get it. But there is a feeling, I guess it's like the bounty of the harvest. You know, that's what this time of year feels like. We have, and we've talked about this on other episodes of Chasing Justice. You know, the things that go on in the fall are really wonderful, and these family get-togethers are important. So I want to make sure that, you know, ours are always fun and that yours are fun. So how do you get in touch with us here at Chasing Justice? Well, many of you will email me at jpangaro@americaoutloud.com, which is an excellent way to do it. And a lot of you go on the Twitter, and they'll hit me on Twitter at Pangaro Global, which I have to say, we're rolling up the numbers of people who are following us. It's really extremely cool to connect with all of you out there. You give me ideas for shows. You give me ideas for things to talk about. It's really amazing. Now, I think next episode that I'm going to have up here Chasing Justice, I'm going to be talking with... we're talking about school safety and security sometimes. That's part of what we talk about. Andrew Pollack. Andrew lost his daughter, Meadow, in the Parkland school shooting. And Andrew has been an advocate for school safety and security. Matter of fact, the thing that drew me to Andrew, number one, I'm a parent of a high school age student, as we all know. But Andrew wrote a book, and in his book, he's not doing the anti-gun thing that many people do when this happens. He's looking at the cause of the shooter, and you know, true security design, Pangaro training, what I do. I've realized it's great that we can teach everyone to duck, you know, when the shooting starts. That's very important. We have to know how to respond when the shooting starts. But wouldn't it be better if we could identify potentially dangerous people before they attack us and then intervene to save everyone's life who would have died, as well as the shooter, who's usually a very confused teenager who, you know, if you can get them out of that moment, maybe you can save their life also. So I'll be interviewing Andrew Pollack in the next week or so. And as soon as I get that interview ready, we're going to throw it up here. He's written a great book about his daughter and Parkland, and he has a lot to say. I think Andrew is a great advocate to help us. Now that moves me into one of the topics I really wanted to talk about, because probably going to get into it in segment two, but I hear so many people say, you know, we need reasonable gun control laws. What exactly does that mean, reasonable gun control laws? Well, when we come back on segment two, round two here on Chasing Justice, we're going to talk all about that. So we'll be back in a minute.
Hello, this is Lieutenant Randy Sutton, the host of Blue Lives Radio, the voice of American law enforcement. I am a 34-year police veteran. I am also the founder and CEO of an organization that stands behind injured and disabled law enforcement officers. It is called The Wounded Blue. Our website is thewoundedblue.org. We have produced a film. It is an important film. I urge you to watch it. The film details what happens when a police officer or law enforcement officer is shot or stabbed or beaten or disabled, seriously injured in the line of duty. Most people think they are taken care of medically and financially. The reality may be quite different. It is called The Wounded Blue, Service, Sacrifice, Betrayed. The film is available on Amazon, iTunes, and the Microsoft Store.
All right then, segment two, round two here on Chasing Justice. I hear from a lot of people, because we've had a couple of shootings recently, mass shootings. Here in New Jersey, we had a couple of high schools playing football, and there was a shooting on the field. Now, it turns out it wasn't a classic school shooting. It wasn't like one student attacking his or her fellow students. It was a gang situation where some of the gang members knew other gang members would be at this football game, and they decided to strike out and attack them. But we did have a shooting in California where a young man took a .45 caliber handgun, and he attacked and killed two fellow students, a 14-year-old and a 16-year-old, and then he turned the gun on himself. And of course, the argument comes up again and again and again about what do we do about these mass shooters. Now, normally, it's an AR-15 or some other kind of rifle. Now, we have talked here till we're blue in the face on Chasing Justice with what's the difference between the AR-15 and a 223 caliber rifle. Well, the only difference is the AR-15 looks really scary. It looks like an army gun. Matter of fact, we just saw recently a group of parents from Sandy Hook who are suing the makers of a particular brand of AR-15, a 223 rifle, because they're saying nobody should have access to a military grade style weapon. And as you know, I've written a lot of articles about Sandy Hook. I've studied Sandy Hook. Michelle Gay has been a guest on my show. She lost her daughter. She lost 6-year-old Josephine in the Sandy Hook shooting. So the parents' point of view and what they feel happened there, we have to recognize that. But even closer to home, I have to tell you, in the most recent shooting in California, where we're talking about these two kids who were killed, these young people, the shooter used a .45 caliber handgun that no doubt he got from a family member or a friend because he was a 16-year-old kid. So he can't legally buy a rifle himself or a handgun or a rifle himself, but he had a .45 caliber handgun. A .45 caliber handgun is a powerful weapon. You see, unlike what we see on TV, you know, when guys jumping across the roof and the cop has a .38 caliber snub nose and he's like, "Get him, man!" He shoots him in the knee and takes him down, and it solves the day. Handguns are relatively impotent when it comes to power. Rifles are much, much more powerful. Now, a .223 rifle is, you know, the classic M16 from the Vietnam era, and now they call them AR-15s because it's the good caliber. It's really a .22 caliber size bullet with a large shell that has a lot of power, that gives a lot of velocity and power in the simplest of terms to the round. But there's a lot of manufacturers of the .223 round that you can use it in lots of different weapons. It's not just in the AR-15. So while I understand these parents, they lost children, I have not. And they're angry. They want somebody to be held accountable for what happened to their children, just like Andrew Pollack does. He wants somebody to be held accountable for his daughter Meadow's death. And I have a daughter, I have sons. I absolutely understand their pain. But if you remember, you know, a couple episodes back, I talked about Ron Kuby. Ron Kuby is a huge liberal, but someone who I really do respect, because Ron Kuby, while he held a specific perspective on justice and truth and law and all that stuff and how the cops behave, he also said that he could not honestly give an opinion on certain things if he was involved. And I think the reality is true. I mean, I haven't had a child who was involved in a school shooting. Although I think on the last episode I told you, there was a reported shooting at my 16-year-old son's high school, and I was on my way home from an event. And I got a call on my car phone that said, the police want you to know that there's been a shooting at the school and everything is fine. And as a parent, it was much more difficult for me to handle that than as a police instructor or as Lieutenant Joe. This was my son, Jack, was at a school where a shooting was. And it was scary. It was painful. It was real. And of course, I called Jack immediately and found that he was already home, so that was good. But some of his very good friends, you know, the boys who were on, you've seen them. There's pictures when you go to Chasing Justice on the AmericaOutloud.com website, and you look and you see pictures of the Jack and his friends. Those guys who were praying, some of them were stuck in that high school, scared to death that a shooter was in that school, and they had to figure out what to do. How do they survive? Their parents were calling me. It was very, very scary when it finally happens in your house. So I don't disregard these parents who want to sue the gun maker. But I think because, like Ron Kuby said, if it was him, he can't make a clear judgment. I have to say, as a parent who hasn't been involved, maybe I can add something to the judgment. So a judge just recently said that you can sue the makers of the AR-15 for the violence that happened in the shooting. And I know I'm taking a position that's probably not politically correct, although I don't know that it's politically correct or not. I'm just simply saying, let's follow the logic. A manufacturer makes a gun, which is a legal thing. Gun's a legal thing. The .223 rifle is a legal thing. They make it look very scary. It looks very military. And one of the reasons they make it that way, with all the plastic dimensions and the design, is so that it looks cool. People want to buy it. Okay? The reality is that it's a semi-automatic rifle. It only fires one round every time you pull the trigger, which means it's like every other .223 caliber rifle out there in the world. And I've made this comparison several times. When I was law enforcement officer and I went to the SWAT team, I was a member of the SWAT team, we had Ruger .223s. They were, you know, the carbine type of rifle. They fired a .223 round. And they looked, you know, they looked like a rifle. They didn't look that scary. When we went to the AR-15s, or actually the M4 Colt, which is the exact same thing, a different brand by a different manufacturer, it looked like the M16, which we all see, you know, in the reels from Vietnam. It looks like an army weapon. And believe me, we thought it was cool. We were cops. We thought it was cool. It was a cool looking thing. It shot the exact same round as the Ruger .223, only it didn't look as scary. And because it didn't look as scary, people see it differently. And I'm caught between a strange place here, trying to understand these parents who lost children and want someone to be held accountable. And they look at the weapon and they say, if you didn't sell that weapon, my children would not be dead. Okay. We all have to take a deep breath here as Americans. We have to take a deep breath and think about this. Is there anything to that? All right, so we saw the Sandy Hook shooter used an AR-15 type weapon. We see, you know, many other shooters use the AR-15 type weapon. And I'm trying to be honest here and really think this through. As a parent, I had a scare. They called me and told me there was a shooting at my kid's school, and I'm trying to look back at it. The reality is this. If we're going to hold the makers of the AR-15 responsible for what an individual does who steals that weapon or takes that weapon and goes and uses it horribly, shouldn't we also then hold Chevrolet or Ford or Buick or any of the car makers or Porsche or anybody else, shouldn't we hold them responsible for traffic accidents? Lieutenant Joe, that's ridiculous. What a comparison. How could you make that comparison? Well, wait a minute. If my family was killed because a guy was driving a Porsche at 140 miles an hour on the turnpike, the law says 55. He's doing 140. He loses control. He crashes into my family and kills them. He used the piece of equipment, in this case, a Porsche or a Chevrolet or a Ford or a Buick or whatever. He used it inappropriately. Just like someone who takes an AR-15 and uses it inappropriately, and we're going to hold the maker of the AR-15 responsible for that as opposed to the individual, shouldn't those people be able to sue the car manufacturers? I mean, doesn't logic follow that that's a reasonable response? Hey, these people made a car. They know people can go faster than the speed limit. Cars are made to go faster than the speed limit. Speed limit is 55, maybe 65, 70 in some states. Cars will go 110. It's up to the individual driving the car to push that pedal down so that the car goes faster than the speed limit. Maybe they don't have the skill to drive that car. Maybe they've been drinking alcohol or smoking marijuana or using some other illicit substance. And they lose control of that car and they kill someone. Isn't that then the responsibility of the car company? Why didn't they make the car not go more than 40 miles an hour? Could they put a governor on it? Sure they could. But they don't. So aren't they just as responsible for those deaths, of which there are many more car accident deaths than shooting deaths? Aren't they equally as responsible as the manufacturer of the AR-15? And believe me, I got no interest in the company, the Armor Light. That's what it calls. So people think it's a Assault Rifle 15. That's not what it's called. It's the AR, it's Armor Light. And there's many manufacturers of that type of rifle. So I have no interest in that company. I'm trying to be fair and honest from a position that I can be, because you know what? No one in my family in school has been killed by somebody wielding that weapon. So therefore, I have the momentary privilege of being able to think about it and talk about it without having suffered a tragedy at the hands of it. All right? So that's really part of the problem. So what is reasonable gun law? Let's go beyond the manufacturer type of thing. My daughter, Marisa Joy, who is a genius, a beautiful young woman, inside and out. Her heart is a heart of gold. She is way more liberal than I am. She's grown up in an age where liberalism controls everything in the schools. And because she's a younger person, she also feels emotionally tied to many more topics because of her emotions than experience would normally dictate. I'm not putting her down in any way. I'm understanding. I used to be kind of like her when I was a young person. I felt emotionally. Emotions drove me to my opinions. It's only the test of time that has moved me beyond emotions and into reality. And I don't want to say that negatively for any of the young people that are listening, but we know many young people are driven by emotions. My daughter Marisa is driven by emotions, and after the recent school shooting in California, now remember, this young man used a .45 caliber handgun, not an AR-15. He used a handgun that he no doubt got from a family or a friend, and he brought it to school, and he shot people, and it's still under investigations why he did this. But my daughter and many people like her immediately jumped out and said, I think the big thing on the social media was, you know, enough already with your thoughts and prayers. Your thoughts and prayers are not helping anyone who just lost their children today or who got shot and died and lost their life. So your thoughts and prayers are nice, but they're really not helping. Let's do some realistic and reasonable gun laws. Now, when I read that post, and it was just from my daughter, who really is a good-hearted, brilliant young woman. But I read it from many other people, and I started to say, well, let's think about what do they mean by reasonable gun laws? So I think this is where we have to split the argument in half. You know, we have to use some of Solomon. Solomon, right? He took the baby, split the baby in half. Where are we going to go? So we have to split this in half. Do we have a right to bear arms? And the people who improperly use weapons, we have to deal with them? Or do we say the simple use of weapons is so detrimental to all of us that we should end the possession of weapons? Because when I say reasonable gun laws, I look at Chicago. And I was in Chicago recently. Chicago has some of the strictest gun laws in the entire United States of America, yet they have some of the biggest statistics of gun murders and violence in the entire country. So the reality is, gun laws only work on people who follow the law. You know, people who follow the law will follow gun laws. People who are criminals will not. So what does reasonable gun laws mean? We hear this constantly. Every time there's some type of a shooting, we need more reasonable gun laws. And we find, well, what does that mean? I mean, other than taking away all the weapons, taking away all the guns, so there can be no shootings, what does it mean to have reasonable gun laws? And I try to decipher this, and all I can find is that really what people who are saying reasonable gun laws, especially in a place like Chicago, who has such strict gun laws, how much more strict can they be? Other than the next step is to go take the guns away from people. Now, this is a proposal that I think many on the left agree with. Now, I don't think they agree with it for the reasons that socialism tells them to agree with. You see how deep this can get? Socialism tells them you disarm the people so that when you need to take them over and control them completely, they have no means to fight back. That is buried in the weeds of people who, on the left, want goodness for people. And this is my argument constantly. I know so many people on the left that their means, their ideas are meant to save us, to help us, to be better people. They just don't always fit in line with reality, with how human behavior actually works. So people who are going to respond to these reasonable gun laws already do. They don't go out and commit crimes. They don't go out and shoot people. They don't go out and rob and do all this kind of stuff with weapons. It's the criminal element that disregards whatever law you come up with. And you're not searching every car. They bring in weapons and then they use them against us. These kids who use these guns against other people in their schools, this is a terrible, terrible tragedy of our existence at this particular time in life, when these kids feel that the only way to address their grievances or whatever their problem is to shoot their fellow students. And we know 90% of shootings in schools are conducted by students who already go to the school. So unless you check every backpack, which most schools do not do, unless you have metal detectors, which most schools do not have, then a handgun can be brought into a school and somebody could pop up with it, like it happened in California last week, and they can start shooting people. So it's not really the gun, just like it's not really the Buick. It's the person who gets behind the wheel. But how do you have that conversation when it is so emotional? You know, Ron Kuby, big liberal, I disagree with him on everything he says, but when he talked about the death penalty, he said he's so against the death penalty, huge. I'll just remind everybody, he's so against the death penalty, it's so wrong, he would never do it. But if somebody murdered his wife or his daughter, he would have a hard time not imposing the death penalty. Because you know what? That's his reaction to it. So I'm not involved right now. My son had a scare at his school, and it made me see things totally different because I didn't expect anything to ever happen in my kid's school. And then it did. And I was scared. But I'm not involved. So I can look at it clearly. People who have lost people, I can understand why they kind of get the idea, get rid of the guns. Just get rid of the guns. And then nobody could kill each other. Is there anything to that? There might be. But we look in China where they have no guns and they have mass stabbings, where people run around and kill 25, 30 people at a time, mass stabbing people. Because it's a problem with the human soul. You know, guns just make it efficient. But if they didn't have guns, they'd use something else. So what exactly does this mean, reasonable gun laws? It means only a couple of things. Those of us who follow the law, follow the law. Those who don't, it means going and taking everyone's guns. It's the only reasonable explanation that's left. And we'll be back in a minute with round three here on Chasing Justice.
It's your news and entertainment network. News blogs, informative podcasts, entertaining videos, or listen to 24/7 talk radio on our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa. We the People, AmericaOutloud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Wow. I need to think of something to say other than welcome back. Because you know what? You go away for a minute, you listen to a commercial, you listen to some music, whatever, and then you come back and welcome back to Chasing Justice. You all know who I am. I'm Lieutenant Joe Pangaro. I'm your host. I am privileged to be here with you every day from 3 o'clock to 4 o'clock here on the America Out Loud Network. This is the greatest place for free speech anywhere in the world. If you enjoy my show, listen to the other shows. Go up and down the dial all day long, 24/7. There are awesome programs every single day. Listen to Viewpoint on the weekend. One of the most dynamic programs of free speech I've ever heard is Viewpoint, which is on the weekends. Voice of a Nation with Malcolm Out Loud. Really a great guy. You know, I'll tell you, he's so professional. He's on the air and he talks about it. And he's great. Behind the scenes, he is a red-blooded rock and roll American like I have never seen in my life. Malcolm is awesome. He brought me on. He just tells me, go out and do your show. Talk about whatever you want. This is what America Out Loud is all about. we cannot lose this gift we all have of free speech, because we're seeing it crushed every single day in America. People are moving more and more, especially the young people, they are moving more and more towards restricting free speech more than they are saying, let's empower free speech, which we've talked about here again. I can go on and on and on and on and on. But I want to thank you all so much for listening. You know, me and my wife, Kathleen, we talk about it all the time. What a privilege it is to have an ability to sit here and talk to you and talk about the things that go on. And I hope I hit a nerve with some of the things I talk about with you. You know, I talked about the kneeling today. We talked about regional gun laws. You know, that's perplexing. And how do we go there? School shootings and this and that. So it's a great opportunity for me to vent what I'm feeling, you know, my pages of outrages, and also how I feel as a human being to be able to talk to all of you. So thank you so much for listening. Listen to the other shows here on the network. It is really the best place. And then tell everybody about it. Tweet about it. Talk about it. Where else can you get totally unadulterated free speech other than here in America Out Loud? It's fantastic. So now let's move along the road a little bit and let's talk about some of the political nonsense that is going on. Now, for the longest time here on Chasing Justice, I have talked to you. The guys in the neighborhood have talked to you. We've all had these conversations about, you know, this whole impeachment thing about our president. The further along this goes, the more surreal this becomes. Can you imagine if George Washington and Thomas Jefferson and all of the founding fathers were here today to see what's going on? Can you imagine their reaction to this farce, this coup d'etat against a president that these people on the left just don't like? And I could say it till I'm blue in the face. I get the people on the left. They're my family, my friends. I love them, but the fact that they do not see this as a sham, as a danger to them in the future, because I'll tell you right now, the minute a Democrat president is elected, I am going to demand an impeachment because I disagree with their policy. So now we can impeach people because we have a disagreement on policy. Do you realize how surreal that is? How third world that is? How unreal that is? This is America. We don't do that, but we're watching it in front of us every single day. We're watching Adam Schiff and Nancy Pelosi, who, you know, I always thought she was kind of a strange bird, but I had to say, politically, she was astute enough to understand she's the Speaker of the House. She wants to maintain power. She wants to do what her party thinks is right. And that's what the party in power should do. That's why, you know, they got elected, they win the office, they get to do what they want to do. If we don't like it, next election, we go into the voting booth, and what do? We push the button for somebody else. That's how it works. Elections have consequences. Barack Obama said that. And like a stop clock is right twice a day, Barack Obama said, hey, I got elected, and people voted for me, and I get to do what I want to do, what I think is right. Well, this is one of the first times that we're seeing such blatant attack on American democracy that these people on the left, Adam Schiff, and I got to say, Nancy Pelosi is allowing it to happen. They are using such nonsense to go after Trump because they don't want him there. And I've said this, and I hate repeating myself over and over and over, but it's one of those things you have to think about. The reality is that the never Trumpers, if they don't see the value that Trump has brought to our country with his policies, not his mouth, not the things he says, not the inarticulate things he says, not the vulgar things he says, the fact that he's appointing judges who are constitutionalists, who are going to look at the Constitution when they make legal decisions. When we look and see the tax law, the regulation he's gotten rid of so business can expand, so we can have jobs, we can work, we can all grow. Our economy is the gift of the world. But yet they're still against him because he represents an attack on the ruling class. Now, I'm asking you out there in Chasing Justice Land, are you a member of the ruling class? No, just like me, you live under the control of the ruling class. Donald Trump is trying to break up their monopoly. You know, what do we see the other day? They're talking about Ukraine. Why are they going so crazy over Ukraine? Well, Nancy Pelosi has a family member who works for the Ukrainian oil. We see John Kerry has someone who works for Ukrainian oil. We know that, Vice President Biden's family works for the Ukrainian oil. All of these people have these connections all around the world making millions of dollars. Do you have those connections? Are you qualified to get a job for $89,000 a month to work for Ukrainian oil, to never go to Ukraine, not speak the language, but guess what? You get to be on the board. You get a $3 million payment. You get $89,000 a month. There probably is nothing illegal about that. A company, and I'm the big proponent of free business, they can hire anybody they want and pay them anybody. You can hire Lieutenant Joe for $200,000 a month. If you want to hire me, and I'll be a proponent of your company. But that doesn't mean that it's not inappropriate if my father is the vice president of the United States, and the only reason they're hiring me is so that I'm making money and my father looks favorably on whatever they're doing. And as the vice president has influence over policy that reflects on them positively or negatively. Now, we know in Ukraine, two places that Joe Biden had great control was Ukraine and China. Barack Obama gave him a lot of control over that. That was what, as vice president, he did. And where did his son, Hunter, make a lot of his money? Ukraine and China. Is there such a thing as coincidence? There's not. So while it might not be illegal, doesn't mean it is not corrupt. So should we look at that? Listen. I'm the first one to tell you, Republicans and Democrats do that. Of course they do. It's part of the benefit of being in the government, that they take care of their families. If you were involved in the government and you could give your brother-in-law or your sister or your cousin a job making $50,000 a month to really do nothing, tell me you wouldn't do it. Doesn't mean it's right, but the reality is that's what goes on with politicians. They take care of themselves. How do you go to Congress making $175,000 a year, and after 10 years, do the math, that's $1,750,000. Boy, that's a lot, man, for 10 years. Most Americans will never make $1,750,000 in 10 years of their life. But after 10 years, you don't have $1.75 million. You got $43 million. Where did that money come from? How did you get $43 million? What did you do to earn $43 million? You're a representative of the American people. This is part of the game. And Trump is causing a problem for them. That's why you have never Trumpers. Because they're against him. He's upsetting the apple cart. Don't we see what a damage that is? Do you think your son could go get a job making $89,000? Okay, you're a plumber. You're a plumber in Waskegan, Illinois. You make $150,000 a year. You're doing a pretty good job for your family. Is your son going to get an $89,000 a month job with a oil company in Ukraine with a $3 million payoff here and there? Why not? Why not? Your son is probably 10 times more capable than Hunter Biden. Why doesn't your son and your family get that? Because you're not connected. These people are connected. They're using their connection to make money. It's right in front of us. And that's what all this is about. That's what all this is about. So Mr. Schiff, when he goes out there and he's attempting to derail the president, this is really what this is. This is a coup d'etat. And I've talked about it and talked about it and talked about it. And I'm so sick of talking about it because it doesn't seem that anything is being done about it. Now, I have talked about Bob Barr, our attorney general, and people said so many great things about him that he's going to do the right thing. He really is going to step up and do it. And you all know my position is I'm hopeful, but I also understand how the world works. And I think they're going to point a lot of fingers, but no one's going to be held accountable. You're not going to see Jim Comey getting locked up and frog marched anywhere. But I got to tell you, Bob Barr did say some very interesting things very recently. He talked about the resistance and how this resistance was created after Trump was elected. And he basically said it was a systematic shredding of our norms, undermining the rule of law. Think about that. It was a systematic shredding of the norms of American life, American jurisprudence, American existence, you know, do the right thing. And it undermines the rule of law. Now, people are trying to make out, what does that mean? Now, anybody who's been to Lieutenant Joe's training knows one of the big things I talk about is that words mean things. The words we use, how we say them, means things. So when I hear Bob Barr, the Attorney General, say it's a systematic shredding of the norms and it's undermining the rule of law, that says he's taking this really seriously. He's really looking at this coup d'etat for what it is. This is not just our time in your life and my life. This coup d'etat, if it's allowed to stand, this becomes the norm. Now, up until now, we had political fights, we had arguments, we went back and forth. That's what we do, and that's okay to argue politically, to make your best case and hope you swing people to your side. But to use the power of the government, to use the intelligence agencies, to use our law enforcement agencies to attack a private citizen, Donald Trump at the time, because you disagree, or you don't want him getting in there because he's going to attack your apple cart? Et tu, Brute? This is what I'm saying. This is beyond our time here in the United States. This has to do with the future of the United States. Your children and your grandchildren will live under the results of what happens here. And I am praying that whatever was found wrong, Bob Barr is going to join the founding fathers in standing up in such a significant way for American justice that he says, this was wrong. And he brings these people to justice, because if we don't do that, if we allow this to go on, what country do your children and grandchildren have? This is the most significant thing that has happened in our lifetimes. Whether you're a teenager listening to me or you're an 80-year-old guy listening to me right now, this is the most significant happening in American life in two generations. This coup d'etat attempt against Donald Trump, because they don't like him, they don't like what he's doing, will change significantly the landscape of American life going forward. And not in a good way. And I've said this before, and I have to say it as a qualifier, because if I don't, I feel like, oh, you didn't say it. I didn't agree with Barack Obama. If they did this to him, I would scream just as loud, because he was elected, whether I liked it or not. Barack Obama was elected by the people of the United States. That means elections have consequences. He gets to institute his policies as best as he can based on the Congress that's there, again on the votes. And if I don't like it, in the next election, I go into the voting booth and I push a button and I change how my country runs. I don't use the powers of my government to go after him, to create this nonsense, these lies that they keep coming up with to remove Donald Trump and to destroy his opportunity in 2020, because I don't agree with him. That's not how it's supposed to work. If we allow that to happen, and I'm talking to you, my liberal friends who are out there right now, who are just thrilled that they're going after Donald Trump, they're going to get him. If you allow this to happen, what happens when they do that to your candidate who wins because you convince most of us you have a better idea, your liberal positions are the better way to go, and we vote for them? But there's a cadre of people in that government who just think, absolutely not. And they use the power of government to go after your liberal candidate and trump up the, well, funny word, right? To trump up these charges, to go after him, to impeach him, to destroy his presidency for years. This is the bigger question. You need to stand up now and be an American, not a partisan. And I know it's hard. You don't agree with Donald Trump. You don't agree with cutting regulation. You don't agree with cutting taxes. You don't agree with empowering business. You don't agree with increasing our rights. You want to go the other way. You want government to be in charge of everything. And I'm not saying that facetiously. I'm saying you see the world in a different way, that it's better when government controls things and people are stupid and you should be able to tell them what they should do. And I get it. That's a totally different point of view than the one I have. I wouldn't do that to you. You would do it to me, and we'd both feel good about what we're doing. The reality is, if we allow this to happen, if my friends on the left allow this to happen because it is easy for them to get what they want, you are giving up the American experiment. You are giving up the United States of America. You are asking us to go someplace else. And here's what I'm going to say to that. Take a look at history. As flawed as you feel the United States is, as wrong as you feel the United States history is, as racist and horrible and homophobic and everything else you think about the American experience, where is it better? Now, I'm also going to add a caveat. That's a lot of BS, because we should not be homophobic. We should not be racist. We should not be any of that. But our country has learned over time that's not the right way to be. We need to be better than who we were. Haven't all of us learned to be better than who we were 10 years ago, 5 years ago? Aren't we all moving forward to be better? So is our country. We defeated slavery. It was wrong. That's what came to us in our founding. That's where the world was. We realized that was wrong. We lost thousands of people to say that's not right, and we moved forward. We're trying to make the country better. We're learning. Where else in the world can you go and say, gee, they're really trying to be better? They're trying to understand things that are different. I see the world differently now than I ever did before. I get there's people who think differently than me, love differently than me, want differently than me, and I'm willing to listen to what they have to say. I'm willing to accept them. The problem I have is when they would not turn around and accept me back. Just like I said, Sheldon in that meme, and I know it wasn't Sheldon, said, you're free to believe what you want. I'm free to believe what I want. But you're not free to enforce and make sure that I believe what you believe. That's the beauty of America. And my friends, if we let this go, if we let this coup d'etat take place just because it is efficient for you and what you believe and what you want, you're giving up your own future. It is suicidal to do this. This is wrong, what's happening. This is based on lies and hearsay and nonsense. If you were brought into traffic court, you would have more rights right now than the President of the United States has. And if you think that's okay because you don't like him, you, my friends, are the problem. And it's not going to work out for any of us in the future. So listen, let's move forward. Let's decide. We don't like Donald Trump. In 2020, push a different lever. Vote him out. And you don't have to deal with him anymore. Using all this other nonsense to do this, all it does is damage liberty and justice and freedom for all of us. Hey, listen. The holidays are coming. I'm going to end on a good note. Lieutenant Joe loves you all. Thank you so much for listening. We will see you soon back here on Chasing Justice on the America Out Loud Radio Network.